from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it is. Good morning, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Kyle. He's James. And we're going to hang out with you until noon, and then D'Lo and KC will come in and do a real radio show.
Okay.
This is an exciting day, though. We'll talk Kings. I have so much to get to that is directly like James doing stuff.
Oh.
And it's not Kings related. Jake, you of course are the Kings guy. The Kings Beat. KingsBeat.com. Subscribe today and download the Kings Beat podcast wherever you get your podcasts. But you have done two things for me. You have given me two gifts. And it's really, really nice of you to do these things for me. The first thing happened last night. I was sitting there and I was doing one of my various additional responsibilities, media responsibilities, Niners Wire, Candlestick Chronicles, whatever I was doing.
Okay.
And I get a text from you that says, I am watching the NFL Combine, and I got to tell you. And then you said, which is just great, which is just like, hey, watching the Combine, getting dialed in, love that for you, love that for me, love that for the show. And then you said my favorite words that as a producer, a host could say to me, as a host, the co-host could say to me. You said, I have thoughts. And buddy, I cannot wait to get your NFL Combine thoughts right now.
Okay, so let me set the stage. Let me set the stage.
I'm so fired up.
I ended up going to Bennett's, but the new Bennett's location off of Lone Tree. Shout out to Bennett's. Shout out to Brian Bennett, who came over and hung out and said hi. Again, Bennett's, you might want to sponsor the show.
We love Bennett's.
We were there.
Maybe a segment?
Yeah, a segment of the show. Yeah,
sure.
We could talk about all kinds of things.
Purple and Black pregame show?
Their happy hour is off the hook, just so you know. It's off the hook. It was so impressive, and for today's day and age where everything is so expensive, it was actually affordable. I'm like, well, this is really nice. So,
dude, they're not, keep in mind, I'm saying, Bennett's is not paying us to say this.
No, not at all.
I've had Bennett's probably three times, so I'm not like the authority on it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've been, it's been delicious.
Yes.
I've never had the same thing twice. It has been catered to this place, and I've been there to the restaurant, and it's been unbelievable food every time.
Every time.
When I'm driving in, I pass it, the one right here near the station, I pass it,
yep.
And I always go, I need to go to Bennett's more often.
I always feel the same way. Their French dip for lunch is just so good.
You love
good.
The French dip. It is phenomenal.
And I bring fries to the guys. Anyway, I'm sitting at Bennett's.
You know the fries are good because Damian Barling, the
we'll eat
peak
them.
Of physical fitness, just demolishes them.
He does.
Like, man, okay, go on.
He feels bad. He does feel, it's like guilty pleasure, but he has to.
You have to.
Okay, so I'm sitting there in Bennett's. My wife is to my left. We're there with another couple. Right over the head of the other couple is a giant TV, and on the giant TV is the NFL Combine,
mm-hmm.
and it's Defensive Lineman Day.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe my favorite day.
It was pretty amazing. Like some of these, there was a dude who ran like a 4.48 40 at like 6.478.
Go on.
With and like 273 pounds or something.
So it's Chop Robinson.
Okay.
He's a defensive end from Penn State. He's 6'3", 258, 254.
Yeah, 254? Okay, yeah. He was lighter. That's
yeah.
right.
So 6'3". He is the first player to run a sub 5.440 at 250 plus since Vernon Davis.
Wow.
And he plays defensive end.
I was watching, I'm like, holy cow. And then I watched a lot of the other defensive linemen, and mm-hmm. like, I find it, because you've said this, oh, you watch a combine, you can't really learn anything, you should know everything you know, right?
Yeah. It's impossible not to be intoxicated.
But it's like, I am somebody who watches for, like, body mechanics.
Yes.
And I'm watching and I'm like, okay, I watch a guy stand straight up in his 40 time. He goes
yeah.
he goes to bust out of it like he's ready to hit the ground running for his 40. His first thing he does is stand straight up. Boom.
Brutal.
Five flat. I know you're running a five flat. Like
brutal.
You're five plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the basics of some of these guys that haven't been really coached and worked with
yeah.
like a high end, you know, and then they had the drill where they have the like big giant pads on the ground and you got to go one way
yeah.
and another way and then you got to come back
yeah.
and the guy's like waving you go this way and then fly out to the outside and you're watching and there's like three guys who have been in line watching the other guys do the drill. They've all been watching. They're all waiting for their turn. When it's their turn, they run out there and they get on the ground fast and then they don't know how to do the drill. And it's for me as someone who coaches young players in like soccer, I'm like,
yeah,
this is so frustrating. This is so, you knew, like,
mm-hmm.
you were like the eighth person in line. You knew what the drill was. You watched everybody else do the drill, or maybe you didn't, and you're just sitting there. And to me, that's another red flag. It's like, oh, look.
That in itself is so much more valuable than a 40 time to me.
It is.
Like, that just by itself, you don't know how to do this drill you've been standing there watching. That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And problem. Then they got to start the drill up. We're going to start the drill over.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting because you can see, again, the guys who have worked with high-end trainers
yep.
building up to it.
Yep.
Which is the NBA combine, too. You know, you
yeah.
get the crazy, crazy combine guys.
Mm-hmm.
They come in. You're like, what in the world? And then they last like 2 years in the league because
yeah.
they just worked on their combine numbers.
Yeah, they didn't work on their game at all.
Yeah, or they don't really have game, but they can jump high.
Yeah.
Like, or their shuttle drill is really fast.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, you can sprint in the three-quarter court.
If you get out on the break and need to throw a lob, that's your guy.
Yeah, yeah. I always, like the greatest combine story of all time in my book is you know, if you want to be 7 foot tall, right?
Of course.
So if you're a big guy, or if you're,
God, I would take 5'11".
Okay. If you're a like a 6'6" guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you go and find the like fattest shoes of all time, so you can you
right.
know, wear 2-inch heels. Right. So all of a sudden, you're a 6'9" guy right. going to the draft. If you're a 6'10", 6'11" guy, you're like, man, if I can be a 7-footer. It's going to go down
yeah.
like, oh, he's a legit 7-footer.
Yeah.
Hassan Whiteside.
Oh, no.
In his combine measurements, wore flip-flops and came in at 6'11¾". And to me, that is everything you ever needed to know about Hassan Whiteside.
Everything.
Everything. 6'11¾", because he wore flip-flops into the measurement room.
Instead of
instead of
cowboy boots,
a shoe with a 1-inch heel or an inch and a quarter.
Can you imagine how Hassan Whiteside's career would have gone if he measured in it like 7'2"?
Yes. Yeah, man. And you know, okay, and in that draft,
that's so tough.
He has a 7'9" wingspan.
Oh my God,
and it's him and Cousins. Cousins had a 7'8" wingspan.
Yeah,
but two guys that are totally built different. Yeah, mm-hmm. The whole thing was like it was crazy. And then watching Hassan gain 40 pounds in his first offseason of sheer muscle, and he tells us that his dad was a defensive lineman for the Vikings, which I had no idea. And his dad played at like 290. You're like, oh, okay, yoked. And then he would come over and flex in front of the one-way glass that he thought nothing was behind, but it was really all the media standing there.
Hilarious.
He would go over and flex, and like you could tell he'd been working out. And yeah, that was like that's one of many or two of many, many Hassan Whiteside stories. Okay. Some of them are not forever.
That's a good summer show. Just the Hassan Whiteside show.
Or an off the, yeah, I may have told some of these on off the records with the Kings beat. Yeah.
So it's Employee Appreciation Day here. At Odyssey. And you can tell because when you walk in, there's a sign hanging up that says, we appreciate you. It's like, thank you.
Yeah.
I now know how Kenny and D'Lo feel. I know exactly because they do the midday, right? They do noon to four. And when you're in the midday, I did middays my entire time at 95.7. Three different shows, but I was at middays the entire way. And when you're in middays, you get hosed on things like Employee Appreciation Day. Because your show is the window that food is here and then food is gone.
That's right.
And by the time you get done, like they bring breakfast for everybody. And by the time you get done, you go and there's like half a soggy waffle and
it's
some.
Very picked through.
It is very bad. And then the fruit that nobody wants.
The fruit that nobody wants. And then the small pieces of scrambled eggs.
Yes.
The little ones that fall off to the side. Not the regular size stuff.
Yeah. That you cannot.
That you can't really pick up with a plastic fork.
Right.
You're like, this is miserable.
So it's Employee Appreciation Day today. So they brought breakfast for everybody. And they were supposed to get here like 10 minutes before the show starts. And that's what happened last time when they all the managers cooked for us.
Oh, yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
And you went in and you told them what you wanted and you sat down and they brought it to you. It's like a restaurant. And that was 10 minutes before the show. We got our stuff and we were able to eat it like during the show, kind of throughout the show.
Yep.
Today, naturally, right as the show starts, I see them walk in with the food. And it's all sitting there, and people just going to town right now. I'm crossing my fingers for a croissant.
Okay.
If there's a croissant left, I'll be thrilled.
We might have to have you run out and scout for us during the break.
Oh, that's happening. I'll run out there. I'll do a quick run through. Then you can run out there and do, or we can go vice versa.
I don't really feel appreciated because normally, like I typically, I will go and get food for Damian and Kenny
or for
Jesse. Nobody seems to be appreciating us, even though we are the vibes guy. We are Donut Friday incarnate.
We have provided so much food for everybody here.
Oh, yeah.
And not a single person. Hey, you guys want anything? You can stand in the window right here. You don't even have to come into any studios. You can be like, hey, do you guys want food? You want to eat? You want to eat? Like, yeah, I would love to.
No. Kyle.
They break at 13. We're good.
I did get my 30 Odyssey points this morning.
I did too.
I'm
halfway to an Odyssey backpack.
I'm so excited. I want Kyle to get the clear fanny pack, the plastic clear fanny pack. But you should just get the backpack.
The thing with the plastic clear fanny pack is I'm a weirdo. I know how to use it. I'd be like, this is practical. I don't have to fill my pockets.
Plus, you could take a clear fanny pack into like a stadium.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because they can see inside.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
now it's got double use. Now it's not just a bit at the station. Now I can actually use
it. I just keep funneling. I'm going to keep funneling my points every month to Kyle.
This is really good.
Until you get up to 240 points and you'll get that.
It is 240 points?
Both the backpack and the fanny pack are like 240.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was how many? No, I thought I saw it was 160, 167.
Oh, maybe?
Maybe that's how many points away I am.
Oh, that's possible.
That would be a messed up way to price things. If you're like, oh, yeah, you want a new laptop? You are, let's see, $828 away.
All I'll tell you is thanks. That I'm super excited about the 30 points I got today, and I don't want to talk about that 10 points that I got earlier this year for something else that I did.
Yeah.
That
shout out to our friends at Jiffy Lube.
Maybe was worth more than 10 points. Just saying, Kyle.
All right.
Kings, we got a break, right? Before
we do.
I get fired?
We do. We have a Kings jersey to give away today.
Ooh.
We're doing that courtesy of Jiffy Lube.
Jiffy Lube.
We'll be doing that. I have the second gift that you gave me that we need to talk about at some point as well.
Okay.
We also have to get into the Kings play tonight. The Kings are at the Timberwolves, and I really want to have some conversations about some of their guys, Rudy Gobert, Karl-Anthony Towns, but I'm afraid if I do that, they're going to combine for like 40, 30, and 20.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll figure out how to navigate that, but I would really like to have some conversations about those dudes. Kings, Timberwolves, James' gift to me. We're giving away a Kings jersey. Tons of stuff going on today on the Insiders. We're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James. I'm Kyle. They're the Sacramento Kings. They are in Minnesota taking on the Timberwolves tonight. Sacramento looking to win that season series. That is all knotted up at one apiece. What I want to know is how do they...
Guys, James, go get your breakfast. Go on, James. Go get your breakfast.
What I want to know is...
All right. Okay.
Hey, I was trying to do our thing.
Go get your
All right.
I'm going.
We're feeling very appreciated now. Thank you, Charlie. This is so great. Charlie Maloney, everybody, if you want to check him out, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Is this your debut on the stream?
Our
show, it definitely
is. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes,
on the stream.
Yeah.
How's it going, man?
Hey,
did you
good.
Get some Cracker Barrel?
Not yet. I will.
Oh, I appreciate you. You go.
No. I've got like 2 hours to graze, so it's not an issue.
Have you been to Cracker Barrel before?
Dude, I grew up in Ohio.
So that's what I was going to ask. I guess my phrasing should have been, how many times have you been to Cracker Barrel?
almost as many days as I've been alive, okay? So, I mean, if I stopped going to Cracker Barrel, the corporation would collapse. Because here's the deal.
Keeping them open.
I go to Cracker Barrel with my wife, and she eats very quickly there and then goes to shop in the gift store. And
love the gifts.
I quietly get to just go to ESPN and to Fox Sports and to sports.yahoo. And
so you and your wife go on a date to hang out alone.
Exactly.
That is remarkable. Where's my applause? That is a great, I mean, come on.
And then
that's a great vibe. I love that.
And then afterwards, we jump in the car, and a lot of times we go to a movie, or we'll go pick up cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory or something.
I'm taking
like
notes.
So
this is great.
And we, you know, I mean, it must be working because we're coming up on our 46th anniversary this year.
Wow.
So.
Holy smoke. I'm my wife and I right there. We're coming up on two.
Okay. So, well, hey, man, you're the locomotive is
well
picking
on
up
our
steam.
Way. Well on our way. Cracker Barrel dates, apparently the new move.
Yep.
All right.
It is good.
Charlie sitting in for James. It's employee appreciation day, so James is out picking up his breakfast. It looks like he got a loaded plate. I love that for him. I didn't bring lunch today, so I'm really glad that I forgot there was breakfast. I didn't bring lunch because I got a jet like pretty quick after the show, FYI.
Well, see, and I didn't have my bagel this morning because it's donut day.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm listening to you guys coming in, and then I hear it's breakfast day, and I'm going but then I hear that you guys aren't
no donuts.
Breakfast. And so I'm going, no.
Can't stand for that.
So there we go. If you need refills, flag me down.
Charlie, bacon.
We'll get
go get yourself something to eat.
I will. All right.
We definitely appreciate
you. See you later.
Thanks, Charlie. He's the best. There he goes. Charlie Maloney, everybody. Second day in a row. We're going to have to start paying him if he comes on a third day.
Uh-oh.
What'd you get?
Oh, he just took my phone. Hang on.
That's hilarious. Charlie's going to start breaking King's news. Charlie, come back. He's got James' phone. James is the kind of person who's plugged in that when his phone disappears, it's a problem. Like, it's a real problem. It could be an issue if the wrong person gets a hold of James's phone.
Maybe.
I said, you're the kind of person that's the kind of plugged in that, like, if the wrong person got a hold of your phone, it could be a problem.
Now I'm going to have to worry about that all the time. People are going to be like, if I could only get my hands on James's phone. But then I'd also, like they'd have to get it open and all that stuff. I don't know. I'd worry. Like, at least it doesn't have the thumbprint that someone would, like, try to get my thumb.
Right.
That would be not good.
What was I watching where they did that? They went to a was it Fall of the House of Usher?
I think
they did that where the husband's trying to get into the wife's phone and she's in a coma. And so he, like, while she's in a coma, like, opens her eye. So, yeah, it's wild. I think that's how it went.
I think I was watching some.
It's the House of Sun.
Oh, yes.
The brother's Sun.
Yeah, the brother's Sun. Yeah,
yes.
That's, they're going through all the thumbs.
Yes.
There were a lot of extra thumbs.
Yeah, the agent goes and gets the thumb to get into the phone. That's exactly what it was. Although I feel like it happened in Fall of the House of Usher too. The Brothers Soon, very, very good show.
There is out in there, there's probably 14 pounds of bacon.
There is so much bacon. I usually am like, I only grabbed a couple pieces of bacon because that to me is the right amount of bacon to have. It's just in my brain, I go, two pieces of bacon is a one. That's,
well, you're being like conscientious to everyone else. And
yes, thank you. Right. Yeah. I'm trying to keep other people in mind. There are just buckets of bacon over there.
Yeah, right now I could go make a BLT with like 42 pieces of bacon.
You could, like, do BLT with like bread wrapped in bacon.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely spectacular.
And really, really good. Shout out to Cracker Barrel. Okay, so we're going to rearrange some things.
Yeah, things are going a little sideways.
I'm going to talk about the set. We're going to get to the Kings today, guys. I swear to Bob. I'm definitely worried, though.
Is this the moment we talk about Blue Lips?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Your second gift to me.
Okay.
I love Schoolboy Q.
Okay.
He's one of my favorite rappers. I don't know if I've told the story or not, but I had heard like all of his hits off Oxymoron, but I had never listened to Oxymoron all the way through. And I finally decided to do that one day and was just blown away because it's a great album. And then a short while later, Blank Face came out, his second album, and loved Blank Face. I still do. It's an all-timer for me. Well, then he had another album come out called Crash Talk, and Crash Talk is like way out of left field. It is way over here. It stinks. I was very disappointed with it.
Okay.
So Blue Lips comes out today. Listen to it on the way in. I was very thrilled with it. It is, the production is great. Some of the features are great. I really, really enjoyed the album. It is right up there with Oxymoron, right up there with Blank Face. I haven't gotten enough listens to decide if it's better than those two yet, but I loved it. And then I said, I'm going to talk about this on the radio today.
Just
and
because.
And instead of leaving you out in the cold, mm-hmm. Instead of being like, James, here's a thing that happened, and you're like, I don't care, like what you did. Sure. I was like, can you listen to some of this for me? I would love it if you would listen to this, and I just want your thoughts, opinions, and you got, I think you said, six songs in. You listened to it on the way in?
I did. I got six songs in.
Thoughts?
Okay, so Blue Slides.
Yep.
I enjoyed.
Yep. More upbeat one.
And I think it's Lovebirds. And those are the two that he uses other music. Like
samples.
Yeah, of older music. Mm-hmm. And then starts doing his stuff.
Yeah.
I was down with those. And I thought they're like really cool. And I like the arrangement. And I thought it was creative. The rest of it is tough because I don't listen to that type of music.
Yes.
And I can't get past the N-word every 2 seconds.
Sure.
That's something like, and I'm so outside of that, like, I don't know, like I enjoyed like the beats and like,
sure,
like the arrangement and mm-hmm. stuff, but I preferred the other stuff where he was just kind of riffing without going there the whole time.
Sure. That's understandable.
Yeah.
My wife's the same way with music. And that's why, so I ordered Blue Lips on vinyl. I just pre-ordered it. I took a leap of faith that it'd be better than Crash Talk. And I have a couple like that where I just don't play those when she's the same way. She's like, this is not my bag.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And it's not like you can skip when you got vinyl.
Right.
You gotta like literally like pick up the needle and move it.
You're just letting it rip. Yeah. I'm glad. I thank you. I know it, I had a very strong feeling it wasn't going to be your favorite thing, but I appreciate that you listened so we could discuss it on the radio.
I had a really short drive into work today. Yeah. We stayed down here. Right. We stayed down here in Rockland, so it was only
Was that to stay out of the inclement weather?
Well, we didn't want to go back late, you know, and drive through maybe what could be bad weather. I don't know. The boys, well, my youngest had school today, so it's not like it snowed enough that they're going to have a problem. I don't know what the weather looks like right now at home, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll have Kings Timberwolves next, I swear.
You swear?
I promise.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen next.
Charlie will barge in again or someone will.
something like that. Something like that's going to happen. We will talk about the Kings. We will talk about the Timberwolves. And we have to at some point talk about Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns because I feel like they're pretty polarizing players in a different way. Like we talked about Jamal Murray the other day. And Kat and Gobert are different, polarizing in different ways than Jamal Murray. Like I think everybody is, consensus is Jamal Murray is really good, but he gets rated higher on things like NBA rankings because of how he does in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
With Towns and Gobert, I have questions about them as pieces of like a title team. And that's kind of what I want to dig into, but I'm scared to do that. Because if we talk about Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns in any way that's not like, wow, what a duo, David Robinson and Tim Duncan reincarnate, watch out. If we do anything below that, they're going to torch the Kings tonight for 60 combined points.
No, totally.
I want to have a real conversation, but I'm also terrified of jinxing the Kings because I am a superstitious weirdo. And I don't want to get blamed for this stuff anymore. I stay at games, they lose, my fault. Talk about Jamal Murray on the radio, he goes for 32 in a Nuggets win, my fault.
There it is. I do believe all of this is your fault, Kyle.
I know.
I do. You're jinx.
Just go to shoot around. Mike, stop running on those defensive adjustments. We got it.
We got it.
We fired Kyle. He's out of here.
We just need to start doing reverse jinxes. We gotta think our way around this, Kyle.
Okay.
Reverse
I don't see jinxes. Any way. Okay, I got you. I don't see any way the Timberwolves don't win the championship this year.
No, of course
not. Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert.
MVP candidates.
Anthony Edwards.
Will they split the vote, Kyle?
Oh, maybe. Three-way MVP over there?
Yeah.
Jaden McDaniels, I mean, future MVP.
Future Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
That's a great, yeah. It's
and
a,
maybe Rudy Gobert is Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Maybe they will do
Defensive Player of the Year?
Maybe they'll do what the Kings did last year, where they sweep every single award.
Is Chris Finch the greatest NBA head coach of all time?
I believe he is.
I think he's in the conversation.
I believe he is.
We'll have Kings Timberwolves for you next on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, he's James. I'm Kyle. And we're going to do a radio show about the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. That game takes place tonight in Minnesota. The Kings looking to win that season series. They have split the first two. The Kings won their first game back in Minnesota to cap a long road trip. One of their most impressive wins of the year. They went in to Minnesota and won that one 124-111. De'Aaron Fox had a huge night that night. 36 points, 7 boards, 12 assists. Sacramento shot 17 of 35 from beyond the arc. The bench combined for 45 points in that one. Kessler Edwards added 10. And Timberwolves just 25 points off the bench. Is that something the Kings can even replicate at this point? Like, that game feels like a million years ago.
That's an interesting question, Kyle, because I'm not sure that they can. This doesn't feel like that team anymore. The offense just isn't flowing and running like it was. But then again, this team has been that way the whole season, where they're so hot and cold. You have no idea when they're going to turn it on, when they're going to be like a world beater, and when they're not. And yeah, that was part of the in-season tournament, that first game. They did lose the next matchup against Minnesota, 110-98. Mm-hmm. I think there's something about Minnesota that we always bring up. It's this long, athletic, you know, the Kings are, they really struggle with that type of team. But I kind of, there's a certain thing about Minnesota that I disagree with a little bit when it comes to all that.
Okay.
They're long, they're athletic, but they're not physical. And so, mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns can be like, he can drop 30 on you with no problem. But mm-hmm. a lot of times it feels like it's a soft 30.
Yeah.
You know, and Rudy Gobert, you know, he does battle Domantas Sabonis, but same time, Domantas Sabonis seems to be just fine playing against him. And they have length and athleticism that matters, but they also just don't have that physicality that you fear. And that's why I don't believe that Minnesota is probably going to be a high-end playoff team once they get there.
Yeah.
They just aren't quite there as a team yet. And some of the pieces that they rely on heavily aren't there as players and probably won't be there as players.
Yeah, that's a little bit where I am too. I really like what Minnesota has done and is doing.
Mm-hmm.
I frankly punted on them because I did not believe that the Karl Anthony Towns Rudy Gobert thing was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden McDaniels has taken a leap. Excuse me. And Anthony Edwards is awesome, but I mean, to what end, right? But
yeah,
he looks to be trending in the direction of being a 1A type of player where he can be the number one on a title team. But to your point, we talk about this with the Kings a lot, right? They need some dogs, man. Mm-hmm. They need somebody who's going to set that tone physically, whether it's offensively, whether it's defensively. Like Jalen Brunson with the Knicks is not a super physical, awesome defender, but offensively, you're going to feel him. Like he's going to be physical in that way. He's going to attack, I don't feel like Minnesota has that player outside of Anthony Edwards. And Ant is that's great, but when so much of your foundation is Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, is these two bigs that I don't, going into a playoff series, I don't fear them. I don't fear that Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert are going to be awesome for 7 games.
I think you know that they're going to put up numbers, but
sure,
you don't know what that how big of an impact that's going to have. Mm-hmm. So what I will point out that the two games this season, the Kings, when they beat Minnesota in Minnesota, Jaden McDaniels did not play.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Minnesota beat the Kings in Sacramento, Jaden McDaniels did play. And McDaniels is a sneaky, crucial piece to what they're doing.
Yeah.
So he put up 20 points, 4 steals, 5 rebounds against the Kings, and he played almost 41 minutes.
Jeez.
The difference between them with him and without is that if he's out on the court and he's defending De'Aaron Fox, that's a really, really long, crazy athlete that, mm-hmm. that causes problems. And I think that Fox can figure it out, but, you know, again, he wasn't great against them in the second game. He scored 27 points, but again, it was during a time where that's what he's doing every game. But he turned the ball over 3 times. He just wasn't as impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if Fox is going to play or not tonight,
mm-hmm.
because of injury. But at the same time, if Fox isn't there, McDaniels is now going to be free to roam and probably defend Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
And then life becomes really difficult for the Kings.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's with no De'Aaron Fox, Keegan has to be the guy.
Oh, no, totally.
He has to be next up. And we saw that against Denver. Early on, Keegan was the guy who was stepping up, and then he didn't. If you're not getting, and this is where the Timberwolves become really dangerous, is if you're not providing any offensive punch, they're not a great offensive team.
Mm-mm.
But they are good enough that if you're not putting pressure on them on that side of the ball, they're just going to eat you alive. And that's where my worry comes in for Sacramento. Is, man, De'Aaron Fox not on the court? We know it's not Davion Mitchell. We know it's not Keon Ellis. It's going to be Malik Monk when he is on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I don't have enough faith in Keegan Murray that when presented with that kind of challenge, he's going to be like, yep, all right, here we go. I'm stepping up to this. I am going to be the dude tonight. No De'Aaron? Here, fine. It's the Keegan Murray show. I haven't seen that. Maybe he will be, and maybe we see it tonight. But I don't have, even if De'Aaron was on the floor, you want to see more of that from Keegan. We haven't seen it yet to where I'm going, yeah, hey, they'll be fine. That's a challenge that he's going to step up to.
Well, and Kyle, this is the important aspect that I think that people need to understand. If Keegan Murray does become that player, let's say that Fox does play tonight,
mm-hmm.
and the way that this game would start is that they're going to put Jaden McDaniels on Fox to start the game, right? They're not going to put Mike Conley on him. They're not going to put Ant-Man. Maybe they'd put Ant-Man on him for a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
but they're like, historically, they put Jaden McDaniels on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a 6'9", like, rangy defender, the guy that we keep talking about that the Kings need. That's when Keegan Murray should shine, because that means that somebody else is going to be defending him.
Yes.
Whether it's Connolly, whether it's Anthony Edwards, it doesn't matter. He's got a huge height advantage. He needs to cook, mm-hmm. right? If he can start cooking, then they would have to take Jaden McDaniels and move him over, and then De'Aaron Fox can cook. And mm-hmm. that's sort of how this team should be built to move forward. Whether they can get to that point or not, it really depends on where Keegan Murray goes as a player, whether he wants to take this leap. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, the whole time, Domantas Sabonis is going to be battling in the post and doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more concerned about that aspect right there. If Fox doesn't play, that means that Jaden McDaniels slides over and defends Keegan Murray, and Keegan's going to have a rough night. He just is. I mean, he's an exceptional defender, and he's got the length and athleticism to bother Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan's stronger than him, but the Kings don't use Keegan as a post player, so that doesn't really matter.
I think this is an important game for Keegan, though.
Yeah.
If Fox isn't out there. Because the only way you're going to grow into that player is by having opportunities to do it,
mm-hmm.
and recognizing the windows of when to do it. So even if Murray doesn't have a great game in that situation, I don't think it's necessarily going, oh man, that's awful for him long term. Like, that's what this is about. This is about development. This is about learning.
Yeah.
And learning comes with those setbacks, with those mistakes. So I'm not, that's the weird thing to borrow a phrase. That's the two timeline thing with Keegan. There's this year, there's right now, today, tonight, mm-hmm. and the Kings needing to get wins. That is, the West is not in a place where you can go, yeah, no, if you lose this one, it's fine. Like, that's not where they're at in the standings, and that's not where the West is ever going to be at any point this year. But long term, I don't think there's any major issue. I'm not going to come in here tomorrow if Keegan Murray gets guarded by Jaden McDaniels and has a tough night.
Yeah.
And go, I mean, I just don't see it.
No.
So.
No, I don't think so either. And the two timeline thing, you bring it up. Like, look, I think that
I hate that that's become like a joke.
No, but.
Because it's a valuable, like a useful thing.
Yeah, but I'm of the opinion that this is a moment where the Kings have to combine the two timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to have Keegan Murray be that player, and they have to be that team at the mm-hmm. same time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at 3 years down the road. Mm-hmm. Keegan Murray came out as a 22-year-old, 21 going on 22. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a baby.
Yeah.
He needs to be treated with, you know, mm-hmm. the idea that he's a year and a half in, and he knows the game, and it's time for him to start playing up to the potential.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean every night, but it does mean that he needs to start being that player and showing us that that's who he's going to be.
Yeah, totally.
And if he can't get there,
that's a fair point.
That's okay. But that just means that you need to adjust accordingly during the offseason and over the next couple of years as you're building out your team. I do think he is that player, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he gets there, too. I want to remind you, coming up Saturday, 11:15 a.m., get your notebook out and start paying attention to college basketball, because you're going to be in a bracket. Even if you think you're not, you're going to have one at work. There's going to be a family one. Some friend's going to hit you up. You're going to be in a bracket. You're going to want to know. And we're going to help you out right here on ESPN 1320 at 11:15 on Saturday. We've got number 5 Marquette at number 12 Creighton. And then at 5 o'clock, non-college edition, we've got Nuggets at Lakers. We are going to be your home for the NBA basketball, the play-ins, playoffs, and the finals. And again, that's 5 p.m. on Saturday, Nuggets at Lakers. And then Sunday at 9:30 a.m., it is Sixers at Mavs.
Hmm.
We will have more Kings Timberwolves for you, though, right here on this radio station. How do they get a win? How do they avoid losing 3 in a row? And can they avoid losing 3 in a row? Because I tell you, this feels like one of those games that I'm going in going, don't love this spot for the Kings.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that in a bit. Let's talk about the standings, though, as okay. we reset here. The Kings got not a ton of help last night. The Warriors and Lakers both won. They're now lurking. The Warriors are 10, Lakers 9. The Kings 2 games up on Golden State, and I think a game and a half on the Lakers. Or is it 2.5 on Golden State and 2 on the Lakers?
Something like that. They're 2 games up on the Lakers.
So they're 2 up on the Lakers, which I think means they're 2.5 up on Golden State. And while we continue looking ahead, that's a factor here, because the Lakers are all of a sudden starting to win.
The Lakers are a game and a half behind the Kings.
Game and a half behind the Kings, and the Warriors 2 back?
And the Warriors are 2 back. And the Kings are, the Lakers are tied with the Kings in the win column.
Man.
Yeah.
Not to mention, the Lakers have won 7 of their last 10. They just had a massive comeback at home. Well, on the road against the Clippers.
On the road against
D'Angelo Russell hitting a huge three and turning around and shushing a crowd that's all cheering for him. Like, bro, come on. Read the room.
Yeah.
They just had that huge comeback win, and they've won 7 of their last 10. Golden State went into New York last night and beat the Knicks. How did I not have the score here? I think it was 110-99, I think was the final.
Okay.
In that one. And the Warriors have now quietly won 8 of their last 10. And that's where I don't think the Kings are necessarily in danger of falling out of the play-in. The Jazz are going the wrong direction, and they are the next closest team. They're what, 7 back of the Kings?
Yeah, that's where you start
5
to
back?
Yeah, they're 7 back, and the Rockets are 8.5 back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, you're going to be a play-in team no matter what.
Yeah.
But the question I don't think that anyone was comfortable asking before was, are you going to be a team that has to play on the road in the play-in?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a team that isn't playing for the 7-8 seed? You know, because, of course, in the play-in, the 7-8 play,
mm-hmm.
and if whoever wins that game is a 7,
mm-hmm.
and then the 9-10 play, and whoever wins that game plays the loser of the 7-8 game, and what you don't want to do is be a team who, A, plays on the road, and B, has to beat 2 teams to get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those teams could be the Golden State Warriors. One of them could be the Los Angeles Lakers. And mm-hmm. if anyone out there thinks that you're going to get a truly fair shake in one of those games, you're going to have to win that game.
Handily.
You're going to have to defeat them because that's a league.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, Steph is going to dominate and take over. Or what we saw from LeBron James, 19 points in the fourth quarter against Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, that's no joke. When that guy wants to make the playoffs or wants to win a play-in game, you're in some trouble.
Yes.
So,
even at 39 years old.
Yeah. The Kings have to figure things out. And we talked about this five-game set here a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And this five-game set, like, you know, we thought, hey, if you could go 3-2, it'd be great. But there's a good chance that you're going to go 2-3 on this set.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They win the first two games. You get a little like, hey, look. They might have something here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you drop two. Now this becomes a really pivotal game. After this, the schedule does lighten up. And the Kings have like 10 games coming up where they got a good shot, right? And they might be able to build something here. But if they have no momentum and we're starting to see some cracks in this thing, then I don't even know like scoreboard watching matters as much.
Yeah.
Because this team just might not be good enough to make it or might not be able to hold it together. You know, we saw the comments from Kevin Huerter after the game the other night. You know, not great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get it. A player wants to play, but you also have to look at the game and how a player played.
And I
mean, he finishes with like 18 minutes. And if they were competitive at all, he would have played 12 minutes in the fourth quarter or 10 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Right.
But they weren't, Kyle.
And they were a minus 20 in his 18 minutes.
Yeah, and then it got worse.
It wasn't like he was tearing it up and they left him on the bench while they got cooked. Like, that wasn't the case at all.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see how he responds tonight.
No, I totally agree, but it plays into this larger question about can the Kings fend off the Lakers and the Warriors, and can they find a way to move up above Dallas? You got two more games against Dallas. That's where you can really start to, you know, try to get out of the 7-8 and get into that next step, which is the 5-6. And, you know, you're only a game behind the Pelicans for six.
Right. It's not like super dire.
Yeah.
Looking ahead. That's a little bit where my point with bringing up the Warriors and the Lakers is not like, wow, the Kings are going to fall back. Look at this.
Yeah.
It's just, hey, we've been looking so far ahead that very quietly, as the Kings have scuffled a little bit here, you have these two teams that were behind them that are now playing really well, and now that's just another thing we have to worry about, while also continuing, how are the Mavs doing? How are the Pels doing? How are the Suns doing?
Exactly.
Because they're right there.
Yeah, it's becoming it was a group of four, and it's all of a sudden like table for six, and that's a little uncomfortable. Should be really, if you're the Kings, that should be really, really uncomfortable that all of a sudden that group that was separated by, you know, was like your group and then another group that was three or four games back. Now 5 through 10 is separated by 3.5 games.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
But at the same time, just to kind of zoom out, they're also, and you mentioned this 5-game stretch where we're going, you got to go 3-2. But immediately after this stretch, things lighten up a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
For Sacramento. And they're in a place, standings-wise, where if you go win 6-7 in a row, not even asking for a crazy long win streak, but put together 6-7 wins in a row against not top-end competition, and all of a sudden you're very firmly in that spot where maybe you're not up at the 4 or the 5, but like comfortably in 4 or 5, but you're comfortably clear of the bottom of the play-in.
Yes.
And potentially comfortably clear of the play-in entirely with 15 games to go.
Yeah, that should be the key. And I mean, we keep bringing this up, but making the playoffs is a big deal. And so the way that standings go is if the Kings make the play-in but lose, they become a lottery team and they keep their pick.
Which is bad.
Which is very bad.
Yes.
This is not a good draft, but it also ties up your 2025, 26, and 27 picks again.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're worried about what that means, what you can trade this offseason. Let's say they make the play-in, but they lose in the play-in, that's what happens. You become a lottery team. So that's where the standings are kind of weird. If a team comes up through the play-in and becomes like last year, like the Lakers were, they become an 8 seed, but were not the 8 seed going in, and they actually earned their way into the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Miami Heat, right? Miami Heat were like a 9 seed. They had to play the 9. They had to play both play-in games. They were a 7-8. They lost to Atlanta and then had to play the 9-10. If they would have lost again, they're out, and they become a lottery team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is it's a big deal because it really does gum up all of your future draft picks and stuff.
And it's counterintuitive, right? Because typically you're like, you want to keep your pick.
Yeah.
But for the Kings, if the pick conveys this year, if they make the playoffs, the Hawks get the Kings pick.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kings don't have a first rounder this year. But it allows them to then trade 25, 26, 27.
Yeah, so if you give away your 2024,
right,
you have no picks owed going forward.
Yes.
So starting on July 1st, you have your 2025, your 2026, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31. You have access
7 years.
To 7 years worth of picks. You can trade every other pick, which means you would have access to at least 4 picks and then pick swaps and other things.
Yeah.
So this comes into play if there becomes a really good star player.
Yes.
And you want to go out and trade for that star player. It also, like, you don't want to take a step back. If you're building something here as a franchise,
yeah,
you don't want to run it back and have run it back mean you went out there and you regressed and you didn't make the playoffs.
That'd be really tough.
Yeah.
Even if that happens, you're still sitting here with a foundation of Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, and conceivably Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good starting point. But now all of a sudden, if you're looking at the end of this year and you're going, that's it, there needs to be an entire roster put around this group.
Yeah.
That's where it gets really dicey, because now you're not a move or two away and we're in their championship contender. Now it's like, hey, we're 4 or 5 moves away. And you've got Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox entering their late 20s.
Yeah.
And that's where the timelines start to now you're up against the clock. So making the playoffs this year is just massive from so many different perspectives.
No, I totally agree. And like the problem is, if you're out on the open market and you're trying to make a deal and the players you're trading are, let's just say, you know, again, your big money players that we've seen that were, you know, bandied about all during this, mm-hmm. this last trade deadline, Kevin Huerter, you know, Harrison Barnes,
right.
Like we'll start to get into the Chris Duarte contracts and the Davion Mitchell contracts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't package that stuff that you're trading with anything other than maybe a 2027 pick, so we might be able to offer you something like 3 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot to offer. You got what I'm saying? Yeah. Like teams look around the league, we go, okay, you know, I want a 27, I want a 29, I want a 31, mm-hmm. if they're going to make some big deal, right?
Right.
But then you start competing against other teams, say the Oklahoma City Thunder, who has a war chest. And now we start running into the problem that they can offer a 25, 26, 27 pick that you can't offer.
Yeah.
And that becomes a problem.
Yeah. No doubt. It would be, man, what a disaster that would be.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, so if they miss the playoffs, we're going into this offseason going, okay, so they have a pick in what's supposedly a bad draft. They
you might be able to find a player, but go ahead.
But they can't trade their future picks now.
25, 26, and 27. You can put in a clause that says, like, if the 25 pick conveys and they get the 27 pick. If not, sure. though, it's but a 28.
Just, but you just mentioned, like, Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're bidding against teams, going like, hey, we have this pick, maybe.
Maybe.
that's not going to be a super strong argument. And on top of that, you would conceivably need a bigger overhaul of your roster having just missed the playoffs.
Yes.
Mechanisms to do it.
Exactly. And this is why I always bring these up too. Like, people forget in 2011, the Kings traded traded Omri Caspi and a future lottery protected pick for J.J. Hickson. J.J. Hickson was a complete disaster. The Kings waived him.
Total mess.
He was a total mess. Like, there was everything. He came in and, like, he was young. He was still super athletic, but, you know, we're talking about a 23-year-old. You thought you were getting your long-term power forward fix, and he was not happy at all because he had played on a Cavs team that made it to the finals, and so they got catered everything, and like he just like wasn't happy at all. But like first interview I ever did with J.J. Hickson, like the night he was traded to Sacramento, he started talking in the third person, and it was like, oh boy, here we go.
I don't know if there's a bigger red flag for me.
It was like, oh well, like, hey, J.J., what have you been working on during the offseason? Well, J.J. Hickson's been working on a follow-away jumper, you know, and he just kept telling me how many different jumpers, and I thought I was listening to like Bubba list off shrimp, and I was sitting here like, oh no, why have you been working all these jumpers when you're the guy who is super athletic and should be finishing at the rim?
Yeah.
Like, where is your post move? Where, like, all of these things, you know, a jump stop and a fall away, and it's like, but
oh no.
The reason I bring up J.J. Hickson in this conversation really quickly is that the Kings traded a lottery protected pick that year for J.J. Hickson. You know, you want to know when that pick relayed?
Please.
2017. The pick that is De'Aaron Fox. When the Kings traded in 2016-17, they traded DeMarcus Cousins.
Right
at the deadline, and they fell out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That pick, the Kings were in the playoff picture. It was a top 10 protected pick from the J.J. Hickson trade in 2011. And
every year,
the Kings had not relayed the pick. When they traded DeMarcus, they fell out of the playoffs and moved up to the 8th spot. That first round pick actually became 2 seconds and dissolved. And they got 2 seconds, right?
Oh my God.
The Kings got De'Aaron Fox because they had the 8 pick, moved up to number 3, but they had a stupid pick swap and dropped to number 5, which is where they got Fox. All of that was from the J.J. Hickson trade. If they wouldn't have traded Marcus, they wouldn't have got De'Aaron Fox. Straight up. Straight up, they would not have gotten De'Aaron Fox. They were a playoff team and certainly not a bottom.
Yeah, but they would have made the playoffs.
Well, maybe they could have also missed the playoffs and not had the pick.
It would have been top 10.
And
oh no.
You remember in the DeMarcus trade, they picked up New Orleans pick, which ends up being the 10th pick, which they traded for 15 and 20, where they drafted Justin Jackson and Harry Giles.
Oh.
That's why all of these things matter, Kyle. When you put them in historical perspective and you look at all these things that have happened in the past, that's why the 2024 pick relaying, it does matter.
All right, we're really up against it. Victor Wembanyama went nuts last night. What does that mean for the Oklahoma City Thunder, though, and what does that mean potentially for the Kings? We'll tell you next on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.